Relationship was starting to spill over into the worship services as time went on. In fact, one week, the preacher got up and preached a message on commitment and how that we should all, as believers, dedicate ourselves to the Lord. Well, the music director then got up after the sermon was over and led in the song, I Shall Not Be Moved. Second week, the preacher preached on tithing and giving and how we should all gladly give to the work of the Lord. The director led in the song afterwards, Jesus paid it all. The next week, the preacher preached on gossiping and how we should all watch our tongues. The music director then led in the song, I love to tell the story. The next week, the preacher preached a message on consecration and temperance, actually, is what he was preaching. He preached a message on temperance, and he was even just shelling the corn and throwing the cob. He says, if I had all the beer in the world, I'd take it and throw it in the river. If I had all the wine in the world, I'd take it and throw it in the river. If I had all the whiskey, don't get ahead of me, in the world, I'd take it and I'd throw it in the river. The song leader got up and led in the song, Shall We Gather at the River? Well, with all this going on, the preacher was getting pretty disgusted and frustrated. And following Sunday, he told the congregation that he was considering resigning. Well, the song leader got up and led in the song, Oh, Why Not Tonight? Well, as it came to pass, the preacher did indeed resign. And the next week, as he preached his resignation message, he informed the church that it was Jesus who led him there, and it was Jesus that was taking him away. The music leader got up and led in the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Aren't you glad we don't have any of those problems here? Amen. James chapter 4, let's look at a few verses together. Starting in verse number 13 of James chapter 4. We'll read down to the end of the chapter, verse number 17. The Bible says, James 4:13, Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Brother Mike, would you turn me down just a smidgen? I feel like I'm just a little bit loud. Verse 14, Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, verse 15, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that, do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. It's interesting verses there, and can't really deal a lot with the context, and I believe there is much contextual study there to understand the immediate application to the group that's being written to here. But basically, you have a group of people that are, we'll say for application for us today, they're trying to make their plans and not include God in on it. They're saying, we'll go such and such a day. On tomorrow, we'll go to such and such a place. We'll stay there for this long. We'll buy. We'll sell. They're making all their plans, yet they're not even considering what God would have them to do. And as believers, as we start a new year, we understand we shouldn't have all these goals in 2012 without considering what God would have us to do. That should be on the top of our list. That should come first and foremost. That should be the most important theme and thing to us. In fact, verse 17 says, for someone that knows to do good. Therefore, here's a conclusive statement. It's a familiar verse, but someone like these people that knew to do good and then they refused to do good, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So that's sinful behavior. It's a sinful approach. It's a sinful philosophy to walk after what we want to do and our desires and not look to what God has us to do. But that's the overall understanding that I believe those verses give us. But I want to spend a little bit of time this morning on verse number 14 and keeping the new year in view here. And I think I might even have mentioned some of this about 3 or 4 years ago. But at the new year, some of these same thoughts. But I always think of this passage when we change another year. Verse 14 says, Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. And the middle part of the verse says, For what is your life? What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. So we could answer the question this morning that James asks. He says, What is your life? He answers the question and says, basically, it's about time. You have time that God has given you. What are you going to do with that time, that life that God has given you? I remember I read to you last year a little thing about how when the new year starts, there's some little decisions that we could make that could help us. I'll give you a little list. When it comes to 2012, we should worry less this year and pray more. Don't you think that would be a good idea for 2012? We should spend less and save more. Well, that's the opposite of what everybody does today, but that'd be good. That'd be good advice for the new year. We should eat less and walk more. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on that, but I'm just going to throw it in there. We should talk less and listen more. You know, I try to tell my kids, and I might have said this before, but I try to tell my kids, I said, you can't learn anything if you're the one that's talking. But if you'll stop talking and open your ears, you might hear something you can learn. But it doesn't work with them, it doesn't work with me, it doesn't work with you. But yet, if we talked less and listened more, we'd learn more. The Bible says it this way, be swift to hear and slow to speak. We should speak less and think more. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it until afterward. What was it Mark Twain said? Was it Mark Twain that said, if someone calls you a fool, don't open your mouth and prove them right? We should watch less and read more, 2012. Maybe you could say we should click less. And I don't know if you know what clicking is. Well, maybe you do clicking like that, or you can do clicking like that, okay? And that's a mouse. I was clicking a mouse. But anyway, we should watch less and read more. We should complain less and think more. We should cry less and laugh more. That would be a good thing. We should fear less and trust more. We should discourage less and encourage more. We should doubt less and believe more. We should frown less and smile more. We should mope less and we should sing more. There's a song we play on the radio station called God Wants to Hear You Sing, and I believe that's a good thought and theme for us to have in 2012. And I could say, maybe as a conclusive part of this list, we should sin less and surrender more. We should love God more in 2012 than we did in the previous year. God gives us a new year. We can leave behind the things that we should leave behind, and we should look forward and look toward and walk the way that God wants us to walk in the new year that He's given us. And I believe that's good advice, and I believe that's kind of a theme that you see here in James chapter 4 that's helpful to us. And let's look at it for a second as James answers this question, what is your life? Let's look to the scripture to see exactly what he says. And the first thing he says, the first part of the answer is, it's a vapor. It's a vapor. Now, this week, I think it was at least one morning or two mornings this week, I'm trying to remember, that I know it was Monday morning for sure, that it was when you got up early and left to go somewhere, it was very foggy out. In fact, I remember one morning, it was Monday morning, I remember that the lady in front of me was going so slow, I was worried somebody was going to run into the back of us, so I had to pass her, even though it was foggy, but I thought it was safer passing than it was following her, because she kept slowing down, slower and slower and slower. You know what? The Bible compares our life to a vapor. What does it do? It appears a little time, and then it vanisheth away. That fog that was so thick and causing such a traffic problem there, visibility problem, early in the morning, it wasn't there just not all that many minutes later. It was gone. It burned off. It lifted. It dissipated. It was there one moment, and it was gone the next. You know that God compares our human earthly life to a vapor? I know we think sometimes that young folks think sometimes they're going to live forever, and they're going to be forever living, and I think as you get a little bit older, you realize that's a fallacy in thinking, that time goes by just like this. I was thinking as we were doing the birth anniversary thing there, anniversaries and birthdays and penny a year, I was trying to think if we ever had anybody give more than a dollar there on the, as we recognize that. And most of the time, no. But if you had somebody that had to give more than a dollar, that means they lived more than 100 years. I was out at Brother Donahue's shop the other day, Brian Donahue's, Johnny's Automotive, and they have a big old oak tree out there. And Troy was telling me that an older fellow that lives down the road had came by and was talking to somebody there at the business saying, this tree has got to be over 100 years old because I'm over 100 years old. And when I was 7, I fell out of it and broke my arm. I was telling my dad that, and he says, oh, I remember when I was a teenager hunting rabbits around Lake Lowry and everywhere. He says, that tree looked almost as big as it does now, so that tree is well over 100 years old. If you have someone that's lived for more than 100 years, if you ask them about their long life, you'd think they would tell you, oh, you know, it just seems like I've lived. They'd tell you they blinked twice since they were a kid. That's what it feels like, that it just rushed by. It went so fast. It's like a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. That would be something. A vapor, by definition, is something that's not substantial. A vapor is something that's fleeting, or it's transitory. It's not going to last. It's not solid. It's not going to last forever. And that's what our human earthly life is like. That's why, for me and for you, as believers in Christ Jesus, if you know the Lord as your personal Savior, it's so silly for us to pretend we're going to be down here forever when we're not, and to put everything we got, all our time and attention and affection, into this temporary earthly life when it's just going to be like a vapor. It's going to be there for a little bit and going to be gone the next. I've heard my dad say before that if you want to see how long it'll take for someone to forget you after you're gone, just stick your fist into the water and pull it out and see how long it takes the hole to fill up. Not very long. Our life is like a vapor and appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And that's not the only descriptive word that's used here in this verse. Look at verse 14 again. He says, it's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. God says our life is going to vanish. It's going to vanish. Remember the boastings that the people made in verse number 13, and that are rebuked in verse number 15 and 16. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what another day may bring forth. That's what the scripture says. Why should we boast about what we're going to do when we don't even know if we'll be here? It's okay to make plans and to make sure you have your house in order and that you have things done decently in order in your life. But as far as making boastings about things, you don't know how when your life's just going to vanish away. It can vanish away just like that. We are very susceptible to our life being snuffed out just like that. 1 Samuel 20 in verse number 3 is talking about King David in the Old Testament times, and he's being chased by King Saul. And David hadn't done anything wrong, but he was just a young man and he learned some death. If we could think about that and get a hold of that, understanding our life's like a vapor that'll vanish away, then I think it would affect the way we live here in this new year that God's given us. What are we, the 15th day here of the new year? And just 2 weeks away from the last Sunday in January, anniversary Sunday. You know, if we really thought about what the scripture had to say here, God imparting wisdom to us, I think it would affect the way we live day in and day out. It would affect the decisions that we make. You know, I've used this illustration before, but I'm always reminded of it when I see this verse. The comedian from yesteryear, Red Skelton, and I figured there might be some recognition of who he is, but back when comedians were a lot different than comedians are today, that's for sure. But anyway, he'd gotten up in years and had some health problems, and he went to see a doctor, and the doctor was telling him about all his itises and conditions and everything that he had. And Red Skelton says, Doc, he goes, I don't understand all that fancy talk. Just tell it to me straight. Tell it to me like someone like me can understand. He says, well, Red, it's like this. It's like you got one foot in the grave and another foot on a banana peel. Here's the step between me and death. You know that you could say that about all of us. Doesn't matter how healthy we might or might not be, how old or young we might or might not be, there's just a step between us and death. That's what the scripture teaches us. And in fact, I learned there from David looking at that passage that you can say it this way, death is a certain step. You're certainly going to take it. All you got to do is be a person that doesn't ignore history to realize that death will come. It might come soon, it might be a while before it comes, but death will come. And you can look at the mortality rate, it's 100%. Only exceptions I can think of are Enoch and Elijah, basically. And one or two of them will actually face death in the book of Revelation as the two witnesses. But anyway, it's 100% mortality rate unless God intervenes. If you were born, you're going to die. That's just a fact of our existence. Death is a certain step, but it's also an uncertain step. It's certain that you're going to take that step, but it's uncertain how it's going to come. We don't know if we could have a long, drawn-out illness, or it could be something that happens so quickly. There's people that are in perfect health that get up one day, and all of a sudden, they might have an aneurysm, they might have a heart attack, they might have a stroke, they might have a this or a that, and they're just gone. It's just like that. Life is snuffed out. And it's uncertain how death may come, and you can look at history to see that all the uncertain ways, even some very important people died in some very uncertain ways. I could give examples of that, but I'll hurry on to say that not only is death a certain step, and it's an uncertain step, it's a very solemn step. That's why the psalmist says, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." That's why Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5 that we should walk circumspectly. We should redeem the times. Redeem the time. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. We should care about how we live our life. We should care how we walk before the Lord, because you have to understand life is precious and it's going to vanish just like a vapor vanishes into thin air. And there's just a step between us and death. And some of those things might not be pleasant to think about. I mean, do you remember, maybe some of you remember me telling you this before. Several years ago, I was actually looking for a poem on the internet. And I'm not big into poetry, actually, but I was looking for something to go with a sermon, actually, because some people tell you you're supposed to have 3 points in a poem if you're preaching. So I was looking for that poem part. And anyway, I'm kidding around a little bit, but I came upon something. It was somebody selling life insurance on the internet. And they had something called the death clock. How many remember we talking about the death clock before? Anybody? All right, thank you. I see those hands. You may put them down. And what it was is you type in the information on the page, and it tells you, you put in your gender, you put in your height and your weight and your date of birth, and you answer some questions about your health, like what itises and conditions you might have, or if you smoke or if you don't smoke, or all that kind of stuff. Anyway, when you get done, it crunches the numbers, I mean, with the goal of trying to sell you life insurance, I'm sure, and it gives you a date of your death. It gives you a date of your death, and mine that it punched out to me was Monday, June the 25th, of 2046. So I'm going to call in sick that day for sure. 2046. Now we're in 2012. That don't seem that far away. And what was interesting is it put my life expectancy. It put the time I have left up until that time period. I don't know if I'm going in the morning or evening or what that day, but it took my time and it put it in seconds. And I wrote it down. Of course, it's changed since then. But it said 1,136,275,175.74 seconds. And of course, it's been ticking away ever since then. But interestingly enough, it makes you think a little bit about how life is fleeting all the time. It is vanishing away right before our very eyes. And that makes us understand something else that I believe you can kind of see in the passage. Not only is life like a vapor and it'll vanish away, but we're very vulnerable in this human life, aren't we? Are we not very vulnerable? Are we not very susceptible to circumstances and others around us? I'll finish up here in just a minute, but I remember this story I've told before about the pig farmer. He, one morning, had decided it was time to take his pigs to market, and so he left out. He was taking that herd of hogs or that school of swine or however you want to say it. He was taking them to market, taking them to town that day to get top dollar, and as he was going down the old road there, he passed a neighboring farm, and that farmer was out plowing in the field, and he saw him, and he says, "Hey, what you doing this morning?" He says, "I'm taking these pigs to market. Going to have a big payday today. I'm excited." And the other farmer, and I guess, you know, if you really are a farmer, you understand how vulnerable things are and how susceptible you are to things. And you know you can do your work, but you never know if what the crop's going to be like. You don't know about the rain. You don't know about the weather. And he says, oh, you mean, remember, you mean if the Lord wills, you're going to have a big day today. He's like, no, nothing to do with the Lord today. I bought these pigs. I raised them up. I fattened them up. I slopped them. I got them healthy. I'm ready to get top dollar today. Nothing to do with the Lord. I took care of this. Yeah, the farmer kind of cringed and says, okay. He's worried about talking like that. Well, that farmer kept on going down the road, and it wasn't but about an hour later that he saw that farmer coming back. But this time, he was all dirty. His clothes were torn up. He didn't have anything with him, and he had a little bit of blood trickling down the side of his face. And the farmer said, what in the world happened to you? And he says, well, I got down around the bend there, and somebody hit me over the head and took my pigs, and I just woke up in a dirty heap just a moment ago, and I was robbed. The farmer says, well, I'm sorry to hear that. What are you going to do now? He says, well, I'm going to go back home if the Lord wills. I think he learned his lesson. We're very vulnerable. We're very vulnerable. And the good news is, no matter how bad it can get down here, we understand what the Bible says, places like Romans chapter 8, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You know, in eternity, we won't be talking about how bad we had it on earth or how tough it was on earth or how vulnerable we were on earth. We'll be talking about the riches and the mercy and the unsearchable mercies and riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be trying to find out. We're going to be trying to search out those things that are unsearchable. That's what we'll be doing. What a blessing that is. But let me hurry on to say, not only is life about time, is it like a vapor and it'll vanish and we're vulnerable, but I'm so glad that I can say to you today that life is valuable. Life is very valuable, so valuable, so valuable. God cares about our little small existence down here in this earthly realm. He cares so much about it that God left heaven and came down to earth and God intervened in our life. Yes. Human life will just last for a little while. Human life is just like a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. But God made it possible and loved us so much that we can have life that will be eternal. Everlasting life. God has intervened. The Bible says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that are under the law. That's me and you. And yes, the law does condemn us to death, and the law does condemn us to be separated from God because of our sin, but Christ came and he fixed it, and he made it where our sins are forgiven, and our life can continue with God, in God, forever and ever and ever. Isn't that good news? Isn't that wonderful? Knowing what God has done for us, I'm going to read you that poem that I found on the internet, okay? It's called The Clock of Life. You've probably heard it before. But let's think about it this morning as we conclude the Sunday school hour. The clock of life is wound just once, and no man has the power to tell just when that clock will stop at late or early hour. Now is the only time you own. So live, love, and toil with the will. Place no faith into tomorrow, for the clock may then be still. We don't know about tomorrow, but we know about today. If you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, today needs to be your day of salvation. You need to receive what God has given you, salvation in him, forgiveness of sins. If you're here today and you are in Christ Jesus, then we need to live for him today. Let's not wait for tomorrow, or let's not wait for New Year's Day of 2013, if that ever comes. Let's not wait for that. Let's serve the Lord today. And I believe that's what God would have us to do. That would be a walk pleasing to him. Let's look at the Sunday school report this morning.